Indonesia records nearly 48,000 new COVID-19 cases in a single day. 1 million more Sinovac vaccine doses arrive in the Philippines. Quezon City releases a list of outdoor spaces where adults can take their children amid the pandemic. What other areas in Metro Manila will be designated as child-friendly zones? We'll discuss that with the chairman of the Metro Manila Development Authority, Benher Abalos. And chaos in South Africa as authorities struggle to contain protests and looting triggered by the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, I'm glad you could join us today. We begin with the story, COVID-19 infections in Indonesia hitting a new peak. On Tuesday, the country reported a record 47,899 new cases. This brings their overall tally to over 2.6 million. Fatalities there now at over 68,000. The Delta variant is being blamed for the surge in cases, which has led to a spike in the demand for oxygen. To address the shortage, Jakarta plans to import more than 40,000 tons of liquid oxygen. The Indonesian government will also buy thousands of oxygen concentrators from the U.S., China, and Japan. Australia extends the hard lockdown in Sydney for another 14 days. That's after 3 weeks of restrictions failed to stop an outbreak of COVID-19 cases driven by the Delta variant. Sydney recorded 97 new locally transmitted cases.
That is the number. The 24 number is what we need to get down to as close to zero as possible before we can end the lockdown. And I really want to make that point clear.
Sydney had been in lockdown since late June, with its 5 million population only allowed to go out for essential work and some exercise. Many non-essential businesses remain closed, and most students are staying at home. Most of South Korea will see tighter COVID-19 restrictions after it posted another record number of new infections. Gatherings of more than 8 people are banned, while restaurants and bars must close by midnight. The capital, Seoul, meanwhile, already under the country's tightest set of restrictions. South Korea reported 1,615 new COVID-19 cases Wednesday. The Delta variant is partly behind the present surge, accounting for more than 30% of all new cases. The Delta COVID-19 variant forcing Israel to rethink its easing of pandemic restrictions. And as this report tells us, face masks are making a comeback as the government tries to avoid another hard lockdown.
4 weeks ago, Israel was celebrating a return to normal life. Then along came the more infectious Delta variant of COVID-19. A surge in cases meant a change of course. Israelis had stopped wearing masks and abandoned social distancing after one of the world's fastest vaccination drives. Now it has reinstated the mandatory wearing of face masks indoors and quarantine for all people arriving in Israel. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett calls the policy soft suppression. His government wants Israelis to learn to live with the virus and to develop herd immunity. It plans to impose the fewest possible restrictions and avoid a fourth national lockdown that could further batter the economy. That strategy is drawing parallels with Britain as it lifts all restrictions. Doctors like Gadi Sigal, who heads a coronavirus ward, remain concerned.
We must find the right moment to limit the entry of new mutations from abroad, and the government must find a way to limit further spreading of the virus in the community, because the virus won't stop. It is evolving, it is nature, but our nature is to survive.
Daily infections are running at about 450, with the Delta variant making up some 90% of cases. About 45 people are in hospital with severe COVID. Around 60% of Israelis have received at least one shot of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. And on Sunday, the government began offering a third shot for those with compromised immunity.
Anger mounts over the deaths of dozens of people after a fire spread through a coronavirus hospital in southern Iraq. Bereaved relatives are blaming local authorities for negligence. More in this report.
In the southern Iraqi city of Nasiriyah, people pick through the rubble of a burned-out coronavirus hospital. Initial investigations indicate that a fire engulfed the building after sparks from faulty wiring spread to an oxygen tank, which exploded. Dozens of people died here on Monday night, and over 100 more were injured. Kazal Galim witnessed the blaze.
The front door was burning and the back door was closed, so people couldn't get out. But before the fire broke out, some of them managed to get out, and afterwards people were stuck inside and the ceiling fell on them. We managed to take out some people, but they were suffering, and the rest of them burnt and died. There are families who are still searching for their relatives.
The following distressing images filmed by Reuters show rows of bodies retrieved from the fire. On Tuesday, funerals were held in Najaf, around 150 miles northwest of Nasiriyah, to remember those lost. Three of Imad Hashim's family members died.
It killed the patients and those accompanying them. There were no fire extinguishers nearby, no ambulances, no water to put out the fire. People ran to get the corpses out. The people hardly found the corpses. They were completely charred. The last thing I remember was walking around the corpses. There was nothing.
Anger spread among Iraqis gathered at Nasiriyah's morgue as they waited to receive relatives' bodies. They blame local authorities for negligence. A medic whose shift at the hospital ended a few hours before the fire broke out said the absence of basic safety measures like a fire sprinkler system or simple fire alarm meant it was an accident in the making. Prime Minister Mustafa Al-Kadhimi ordered the suspension and arrest of health and civil defence managers in Nasiriyah on Monday, as well as the Al-Hussein Hospital's manager.
Here in the Philippines, Metro Manila still seeing a consistent decline in the number of average daily COVID-19 cases. But the health department says several cities in the capital have been bucking that trend.
Meron tayong pitong areas na ngayon ay nagpakita na ng positive two-week growth rate. And these are the cities of Makati, San Juan, Muntinlupa, Mandaluyong, Manila, Malabon, and Navotas.
Among the cities considered high risk are Makati and San Juan, where their hospital beds and intensive care units nearly full. Professor Ranjit Rai from the Octa Research Group believes Metro Manila is still not yet ready to shift to a looser quarantine restriction.
As the NCR, I think we should continue with the GCQ. Pwede tayo magluwag dun sa mga business establishments. Kaya ako sinasabi to, may banta tayo ng Delta. Mm-hmm. Meron rin tayong, although maganda ang sitwasyon ngayon sa NCR, kailangan ho tuloy-tuloy masustain natin to habang sinasabayan natin ang pag-increase ng vaccination natin. Mm-hmm. So para sa akin ha, mukhang we are not yet ready for MGC, that's definite na yon. Mm-hmm. We do not qualify even based on government's criteria for MGCQ, we won't qualify pa as of now.
The Philippines recorded 3,604 new COVID-19 infections Tuesday. That's the lowest single-day tally since May 23rd. The country also saw the fewest number of active cases in more than a month at 46,934. The death toll, meanwhile, stands at just over 26,000 after 77 new fatalities were recorded. The Philippines receives a million more doses of Sinovac's COVID-19 vaccine. The shipment arrived at the Ninoy Aquino International Airport Wednesday. It's a welcome development for many local government units who were forced to suspend vaccinations due to a lack of jabs. Despite the shortage, Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. says the country still reached a milestone earlier this week.
na-bridge na natin na pinaka-highest sa day ano natin, jam natin. 375,000 po tayo kahapon.
This new shipment of government-procured Sinovac shots raises the country's total number of vaccines to over 21 million. 9 million doses were donations. The health department looking into reports some individuals illegally received COVID-19 booster shots. DOH spokesperson Maria Rosario Vergere warns medical workers will face sanctions if these booster shots were administered at government vaccination sites. This comes after San Juan City Representative Ronaldo Zamora admitted he received a COVID-19 vaccine 4 times. He claims that after he got 2 doses of the Sinopharm drug, his doctors told him to get another 2 shots of Pfizer-BioNTech's vaccine.
Gusto natin malaman saan ba galing ang mga bakunang ito. Gusto natin po rin malaman kung ano po yung naging proseso, no? Kung bakit tayo nagkaroon itong booster. Wala pa po tayong sapat na ebidensya para makapagbigay ng appropriate recommendations for booster shots dahil hindi pa po kumpleto ang mga pinag-aaralan internationally and even here globally.
The Philippine Food and Drug Administration not yet keen on approving booster shots for those fully vaccinated with the Sinovac drug. FDA Director General Eric Domingo says there is still no evidence to prove that booster shots are needed now. This statement comes even as Thailand and Indonesia plan to give a 3rd dose of AstraZeneca or Moderna vaccines for medical frontliners who were inoculated with Sinovac. Both countries have reported breakthrough infections among their vaccinated health workers amid the spread of the Delta variant there.
Ongoing pa naman ang ating mga observations sa mga nabakunahan sa buong mundo at hindi pa natin nalalaman talaga kung kailan nagwi-wane ang protection at kung kailan kailangan ng booster shots. Kung kakailanganin man, no? Kasi maaari namang long term ang ating protection from vaccination. I think we all agree na ang priority pa rin natin ay mabakunahan muna lahat ng Pilipino or at least a majority of the Filipinos bago natin isipin yung mga booster shots.
The Philippine Information and Communications Department expected to have a database for COVID-19 vaccination cards by next month. That's according to Tourism Secretary Bernadette Romulo Puyat. This comes amid worries some people might fake vaccination cards when traveling domestically.
It will all be in their database, and as long as you have to put in your name in the DICT, they gave a link and then they gave you a unique QR code that cannot be copied. That's what some of the LGUs were saying. Until they have that, there's a way to authenticate. They will opt muna for RT-PCR.
Quezon City designates 19 public areas as child-friendly safe zones. That's after the Philippine government allowed children as young as 5 years old to go outdoors after over a year since the pandemic-induced lockdown began. The safe zones include the Quezon Memorial Circle, the Ninoy Aquino Parks and Wildlife Center, and the Amoranto Stadium. However, children must be accompanied by fully vaccinated adults. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, top government officials question a report on the alleged dumping of human waste in the West Philippine Sea. More news when we return. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. So, Dateline Philippines, here's another look at our headlines this noon. Indonesia records nearly 48,000 new COVID-19 cases in a single day. 1 million more Sinovac vaccine doses arrive in the Philippines. Quezon City releases a list of outdoor spaces where adults can take their children amid the pandemic. And chaos in South Africa as authorities struggle to contain protests and looting triggered by the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma. Back with more news. And as we reported earlier, Quezon City has designated its child-friendly safe zones. What are the outdoor or other outdoor places in Metro Manila that can be accessed by children amid this pandemic? Joining us now is the chairman of the MMDA, Chairman Benhur Abalos. Chairman, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon and to every viewers, magandang tanghali po.
Alam niyo po, Chairman, parati natin pinag-uusapan yung the importance of all these outdoor spaces, no, not just for children, but in urban renewal in general. But tell us about these outdoor spaces that can now be made accessible to families with children 5 and above.
Well, as we're talking right now, we're having a votation in the Metro Manila Council, which is made up of all the mayors of Metro Manila, regarding certain points with reference to this outdoor space. For one, IATF has allowed 5 years old and above to go outdoors, particularly to what they say as parks. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is, what are parks? Are these parks just like Luneta Park or others? Or will parks within a mall be considered a park? Or outside of the mall, like the ones in Ayala or the ones in PGC? Karina, there seems to be a great area on this. So what we instead will do, what we are doing right now is trying to define, as with reference to all the mayors of Metro Manila, on what is this parks all about. So in our definition, which I have submitted in a resolution to our mayors, which they are both voting on right now, is the definition of this. These are just spaces with gardens outside of malls, could be outside of malls, but it should be al fresco, meaning fresh air coming in, and with no roofs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's just you know, clear, even though with walls, just like in BGC probably. Mm-hmm. So we're going to first clarify that. Number two, siguro we could even consider the capacity. That's very important to avoid overcrowding. You know? Otherwise, this will be super spreader events, probably 50% of the capacity. And of course, going with that, there should be marshals. No? Dapat may mga nagbabantay rin to monitor. And number three is with reference to the children, because you're talking here 5 years above, below 18. No? Will they be accompanied by adults, etc., etc.? So, by adults. These are certain minimum protocols that, you know, mayors of Metro Manila could actually adapt. So, they're now having a votation here as we are talking right now. After that, we are also requesting them, just like what Mayor Joy did, she gave a list of these enumerated open parks in her area. We could probably get a list also of other LGUs so that people would be informed. Kasi mahirap kanina, baka magsiksikan sa isang lugar eh. No, at least they got these choices.
Yes. At saka, Chairman po, not all LGUs are created equal, hindi ba? Not all have all these spaces. For Mayor Joy, she set those standards because she knows her area. Hindi naman pwedeng pareho yan doon, halimbawa dito sa San Juan or sa Makati, no, or sa Mandaluyong. For example, there is an outdoor space, Chairman, but it's on a roof deck on top of a mall. Paano kaya yon?
Kasi ang problema ron, Karina, paano makakapasok yung bata pa lang sa loob, bawal. So these are some of the things na medyo talagang gray area. No, paano ipapasok sa mall, wala kang harangin na yan. So, inuna na lang muna namin yung medyo gray area talaga, which is, what is a park? Uh-huh. Is it a park? Kasi parang ganun sa definition. No? So, just so maklaro ang lahat, na basta ilabas namin ang resolution, sige, itong lugar na ito, pwede. And going back to your point, na not all LGUs are created equal. No? Totoo yun eh, may kanya-kanyang demography. Like for example, meron dyan highly yung density niya, magiging talaga ang tao. No? And you know, we respect the mayor of Tabota, si Mayor Toby, and the mayor of Patero, si Mayor Ike, na parang hindi sila sasang-ayon sa 5 years old. No? Sa policy yung ito, kasi nga yung demography ng lugar nila. That is, I mean, that is understood and well respected. Pero ngayon, we're having a vocation with reference to the identification of the quarks at saka yung mga protocols that will be placed.
Mm-hmm. Because there's still that Delta variant out there, Chairman. We haven't recorded any local transmission, but yet it's still out there. And, you know, we don't want to create a situation wherein that local transmission will be made possible as we ease these restrictions, Chairman.
Well, that's a very timely question, no? And the point, Karina, that you brought out. No? Just 3 days ago, nag-meeting po ang mga mayors ng Metro Manila, ang mga kasama mga eksperto sa Department of Health, sila Dr. Ana, Dr. Edsel, no? Sila Yusek Berhere. And kami ay sinabihan kung anong pwedeng mangyari with this Delta variant. Mm-hmm. At gusto ko lang yung sabihin sa inyong lahat, of course, ang mga mayors, even as we're discussing things right now, ay talagang nakatutok po kami. Ang aming contact tracers, talagang nandiyan po yan. Nakamonitor ang bawat kaso, ang bawat barangay, bawat kalye. Anything na slight lang na increase, andiyan kagad ang mga protocols. Mm-hmm. Andiyan ang mga granular lockdowns, andiyan ang mga isolation. No? So nakamonitor po lahat ito. No? Very strict po tayo dito at dahil nga ito, nag-open tayo ng economy. Maganda na ngayon, halos normal na, makikita natin. Pero tama ka, that scare of Delta variant. What if isa lang makapasok? Anong pwedeng mangyari? Mm-hmm. Kaya importante sa barangay level, sa mga nakikinig ngayon, maski tingin nyo sa kali ninyo, sa isang subdivision ninyo, medyo tumaas ng konti. It's not natural. Sabihin mo kaagad at automatic lockdown kaagad yan. Automatic po yan. This will be for the good of everyone. Hmm. So, andyan na po lahat ng mga protocols in place. At hindi lamang yun kanina, importante rito ay ang border controls.
Correct.
So, if you talk of border controls, sir, airports. So, ano yung mga airports? You've got Metro Manila Airport, you've got Cebu, Cagayan de Oro, Davao, Pampanga, no? So these are the things. Kasi if you're going to look at yung nangyari sa atin nung sa UK at South African variant, nagsimula sa Pasay. Apo. Which is kung saan po yung airport. From the Pasay, kumanat ng Metro Manila, and from Metro Manila, which is a very porous borders, yung mga tao lang pupuntang province, doon ngayon nagsimulang kumalat. No? Hmm. Kaya very timely naman dahil maski pa paano kung well-vaccinated na itong mga lugar na ito, papagpagin na lang ang sakit na ito. At, you know, once you control this, hindi na makakalat pa sa buong bansa.
Hmm.
So, and I'm glad in relation with that, gusto ko lang i-report dahil importante rito ang vaccination where we are right now in Metro Manila.
Yeah.
So, sa ngayon, Karina, nagpakuha ko ng data.
Mayor, pasensya na po. Correct ko lang po, it's Carmina po. May mga nagtatext. It's okay. It always happens and I love my aunt dearly. May she rest in peace, but you know, may mga nagko-complain lang. So point out lang. It's okay. Sige po. Go ahead.
So, as we are talking right now, no, discussing things, I got data. I think this was last July 13. Mm-hmm. So far, we have had about 5.8 million
apa
na bakunado sa ano Carmina. So 5.8 million. So we only have 18 more days for July. It just, you know, ang Metro Manila ay nagbabakuna ng 200,000. Kayang-kaya.
Apa.
Andiyan po yung mga medical frontliners, sumama pa yung mga private groups, so lalong lumaki. No? Hmm. Kanina lang, nasa Mega Mall kami, ang Showmart in the whole country, nag 1 million vaccine na siya. No? So nakakatuwa. Hmm. So ilagay na lang natin, huwag na natin ilagay 200,000 dahil bumaba nga tayo dahil we have to share our vaccines. Na tama naman, we have to share it with our mga kapatid natin sa probinsya. No?
Okay.
Ilagay na lang po natin sa 107,000. Talagang malaking binaba, halos kalahati.
Hmm.
Okay lang yun. Okay, sa 107,000, i-multiply mo ito ng 18 days for July, that's about 1.9 million. And then you multiply them for August 30 days, that's about 3.2 million. For September, 3.2 million. You will be having 8.3. I-add mo na ngayon itong 5.8, that's about 14.2 million jobs. And population po ng Kalakang Maynila is 14 million. So what does it signify? It signifies na pwede mo mabakunahan ng first dose ang buong Metro Manila or two dose ang more than one half of Metro Manila. which could be considered as population protection na. Dahil na protection na muna ang pinaka-most vulnerable community.
Which brings us back to the point that you earlier made, Chairman, that it's very important na magkasabay yung protection tsaka yung vaccination. Kasi pag nauna itong nakapasok yung Delta variant and we haven't fully vaccinated our population, maghahabol na naman po tayo, Chairman.
But it's very true. Right now, napakaswerte ng bansa natin. No? Wala pang local transmission. Talagang ang borders natin, very strict tayo rito. But there is always that question. What if, maski isa lang dito, what do we do now? So parang sunog yan eh. Kumaagap yung fire truck, patay kagad ang sunog. Yung speed ng response ang importante rito. That is why all mayors po sa Metro Manila talagang nakatutok, ang mga city health officers, ang mga doktor, while we are vaccinating every day. At hindi lamang sa Metro Manila ito, o hindi ako nagkakamali, lahat po na may mga international airports, lahat ng mga highly urbanized, you know, these economic drivers, itong mga may airports, usually ito yung mga high density ito eh. So yeah. If you're high density, dikit-dikit talaga ang tao rito na pwede maglabas-pas.
Chairman, balikan lang natin yung protocols ninyo, no, in allowing children aged 5 and above to go out. Alam ko po si Mayor Joy, meron na rin po siyang itinalagang part of her protocol with regard to the adults accompanying these children. Pero bilang chairman po ng MMDA, ano po sa tingin ninyo ang maiging ratio? What would that ratio be? Adults to children. Dapat ba 1:1? Baka masyadong marami yun pag sa capacity na pag-uusapan natin, Chairman.
Well, number one, dapat makita muna natin yung ratio ng parts. Siguro sa GC ko kasi it's usually 50%. But if you're now discussing things about ratio na sasama adult sa anak, ako marami akong anak eh. So, siguro na ng bata. O nalang anak, matanda na ako. I'm ready to... Nalang mga apo ko. Lipe, ibang lalaki eh. So, kung ilalabas ko sila, kaya ko pa naman yung lima sigurong dalit. No? So, it will really depend kung talagang kaya mo. As of now, we have no specific ratio that we are discussing things. But what is really important is parating may kasamang adult for the meantime. No?
Na fully vaccinated?
Well, hindi pa namin didiscuss yung fully vaccinated. I think Mayor Joy ang nilagay niya ay fully vaccinated. I'm not sure, no?
Sure.
But hindi pa namin pinag-uusapan yun. Sa ngayon lang sinasabi namin sa adult pa lang. No? Sa adult pa lang. Hindi pa namin pinag-uusapan kung fully vaccinated or not.
Okay. May isa pang issue, Chairman, that I wanted to bring up. When, you know, I don't know your experience, but going to Mega Mall these days, no? Napaka-traffic po sa labas. Ano bang plano ng MMDA? Is it time for you to implement number coding again? What do you think is happening in the streets of the metro? What's your assessment?
Well, sa totoo lang, Carmina, I must really confess sa mga nanonood. It's a tough balancing act. It's a tough balancing act. In the sense that when you talk of public transportation right now, mahaba ang pila. Ang isang jeep or isang bus, vacant ang isang sasakyan. So technically, yung capacity mo for one jeep, 50% lang. 50% lang. No, at lahat ng public vehicles. At ngayon, nakita mo naman medyo mahaba ang pila sa sasakyan. Hindi rin normal. So kung ina number coding ka agad namin, it means hindi mo pwede magamit ang kotse mo. You must now use the public transport. Ang tanong, kaya na ba ng public transport to accommodate all of these passengers right now? So these are some of the factors that we are balancing right now, Carmina. Sana maunawaan ako ng mga nakikinig po. No? Hindi po ganong kadaling decision ito. Secondly, we base it on data. No? During pre-pandemic times, and this is July 8, 2019, ang volume ng sasakyan ay 405,882. 405,000. Nagpakuha kami ng volume ngayon. It's about 399,000 on July 1. Meaning, wow. Yung dami na sasakyan, hindi na lumalayo. It's just 6,000. Pero ang good news naman dito, Carmina, is the travel time. Before the travel time, noong pre-pandemic, I just get the data here.
hindi naman humaba.
Ito. It's 11 kilometers per hour.
Okay.
Nung pre-pandemic, ng 405,000. Ngayon, uh-huh, it's 27 kilometers per hour. Mas mabilis, Carmina.
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, yung volume mo, hindi na nakakalayo. Halos meron na kadami, yeah, pero mas mabilis ngayon. This is southbound from Rojas Boulevard, from Monumento to Rojas.
What contributed to that, Chairman? What's the reason behind that?
Well, number one, siguro yung bus carousel, Carmina. It's the system itself. Kasi before, okay, the buses were just on the right side. So if, correct, it's on the right side, every corner, dumul stop, hihito sila. Hmm. And they're even occupying up to the third lane of the road sometimes, second lane. No? Uh-huh. But right now, there's just on the left most lane. So confined lang sila doon. No?
Yeah.
Number two, nung ginawa itong bus carousel, may disadvantage din. At that time, sinasabi ng mga intersections,
mm-hmm,
which I had it reopened. No? Pinareopen ko yung at least dalawa or tatlo. Dalawa. No? It's Dario Beach at the one near Schumann.
Mm-hmm.
And bumilis na gusto. At pangatlo, a lot of other bridges na tinatayo ngayon. No? Like, yeah, for example, this one near Santa Monica Bridge, if you're going to Pasig, going to Kalayaan, Makati. And I think we're going to open one into Australia. No?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to look at the volume, halos hindi na makakalayo, pareho na. But the speed is better. Gumagalaw naman siya ngayon.
At saka, so, Chairman, pag nag-number, if you implement number coding again, you might just be taking away the bubble by which these commuters travel in, because this is what gets them safest to their point of destination. So pag tinanggal pa yon,
yes, you know, Carmine, I mean, yun ang point, Carmine. It's not merely nasabi na, oops, traffic, dapat number coding na. Maraming factor eh. Number one, kung tatang iba dyan, isa lang sasakyan, papapublic utility yan.
Hmm.
Ang tanong, kaya na ba? Eh, mahaba ang pila. Pangalawa, tama ka rin, health concern. Baka mamaya, hindi na natin dahil sa haba ng pila, hindi mo masasabi, baka magdikit-dikit na yan. Or if not, even in one vehicle, sumabay ka na sa akin. Wala na yung vacant, talagang punuan na. No? Hmm. I mean, ito eh, maraming factors eh. Ang sa amin lang is that sana maunawaan, as long as it is still manageable right now, we're looking at the speed time, and we even open up, Carmina, yung mga mabuhay lanes. No? These, yeah, mabuhay lanes are routes that coming from north to south and vice versa na pwedeng daan na, huwag na kayo mag-etsa.
Hmm.
You could take, if you're coming from the north, you could take the West Avenue, Cumanan ka, Quezon City, ikot ka sa Mother Ignacia, pagkatapos diretso ka na sa Nuan, Mandaluyong, and then
pag-a-teach
ka na. I mean, this kind of things, no? Kaya nga, please lang, tulungan po tayo. Kayo mag-alala, wala na rin akong tulog dito, talaga tinututukan ko ito, pero sana lang maunawaan niyo po. There are a lot of factors to consider.
Mm-mm. Finally, Chairman, I just want to ask you this, and speaking of walang tulog, kayo ho ba wala na rin tulog sa nangyayari dito sa partido ninyo? Sa PDP
naman? Well, yes. Alam mo kasi ang sa mga partido na ganyan, no, you respect each and everyone's opinion. But what is important ay yung opinion ng nakakarami. That's why you have a process here.
Hmm.
Diba? Lahat naman, as long as you obey the process, you follow the process, walang problema.
Ano ho ba sa tingin ninyo ang opinion ng nakararami sa partido ninyo?
I do not no. I do not want to comment on that. Let's see on our meetings sa mga darating na araw. Mahirap mag-preempt ng kung sino man. No? Basta, importante, we respect each other's opinion. Kung yan opinion mo. But what is important, you go through that process. Kung ano sinasabi ng proseso ng bylaws mo, ano sundan natin lahat.
Ang problema, Chairman, magkaiba yung bylaws na iisang bylaws, pero magkaiba yung interpretation ng dalawang factions.
Well, alam mo, sa mga ganyang bagay naman eh, meron tayong tinatawag na proseso pa rin. Kung magkaiba ang interpretasyon mo, meron dapat pag-aaral kung sinong tama sino pa rin. What is important, sundin mo lang kung sino sinasabi ko, sino ba pwede pumoto rito, sino pwede bababa nito. Tingnan natin, is it rigidly who composes the national directory? Tingnan mo lang, ganun kasimple.
Hmm.
Wala nang ano yan, it's just as simple as black and white.
At this point po ba, kanino kayo mas sumusuporta?
Kasi wala naman kaming, wala pa naman kami pinag-uusapan na issue rito eh. Ang importante rito, ang issue ba ay liderato rito? So pag-uusapan namin kung ano yung lideratong pinag-uusapan namin rito. But of course, sa lahat ng issue, marami namang issue rito ito. No? May isa-isa ba ang tanggaw yan as long as there is a proper procedure in place.
Final question, do you think though that all these infighting would result to in the collapse of PDP Laban?
Well, it's part of democracy, Carmina. Well, that's very important here. Kaya nga nakakatuwa dahil lumalabas yung enthusiasm. I don't think it will collapse. What is important is if you go through the process, it will make your party strong.
MMDA Chairman Benhur Abalos, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Ingat po kayo. Take care.
Salamat. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, moving on, the population of the Philippines in 2020 overshoots government's forecast. The Philippine Statistics Authority says as of May 1st last year, there were over 109 million Filipinos. That's slightly higher than the 108 million projection. But the PSA says a downtrend is forming. Philippine population increased by 1.63% annually from 2015 to 2020, which was slower than the 1.72% annual increase from 2010 to 2015. Socioeconomic Planning Secretary Carl Chua says this will not affect government's push to vaccinate 50 to 70 million Filipinos against COVID-19. He adds, the latest data will be used to evaluate the country's reproductive health care program. In other news, both the Philippines' defense and foreign affairs secretaries dispute a report on the alleged dumping by Chinese ships of human waste in the West Philippine Sea. Defense Secretary Delfin Lorenzana said the report by geospatial intelligence firm Similarity is not true. He also questioned how the firm reached its conclusions by looking at satellite photos. Foreign Affairs Secretary Teodoro Loxin Jr. meanwhile called Similarity's report fake. The firm, however, asserts its report is not fabricated. It also calls on government to verify its findings. Vice President Lenny Robredo urging the Duterte administration to show more courage against China. That's after Beijing again belittled Manila's arbitral win over the West Philippine Sea. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Zhao Lijian described it as illegal, void, and nothing more than a piece of waste paper, just as the Philippines celebrated the landmark ruling's fifth anniversary.
While the tone is unnecessary and unfortunate, hindi na ako nagulat. The message is actually expected. Kasi ganun naman, di ba? After all, governments are expected to assert their nation's interests. Even if sometimes nga, they have to bend logic in the process. Sana all. Sana yung gobyerno natin willing din na magpakita ng konting tapang regarding the issue. Kasi talaga habang umaatras tayo, lalo lang tayong didiinan. Pag interest na ng sariling bansa natin, dapat pumalag tayo.
The livelihood of Filipino fishermen in the West Philippine Sea still being disrupted by multiple Chinese ships in the area. This was confirmed by a fishing boat captain whose vessel was rammed and then sunk by a Chinese ship 2 years ago, Willard Cheng reports.
There are more Chinese ships in the West Philippine Sea, 2 years after a Chinese trawler rammed the Filipino fishing boat Jember off Recto Bank, according to the fishing boat's former captain, Junel Insigne. While he is now able to fish, Junel says the catch has become fewer and the fishing ground limited.
Nandun pa rin po yung mga Chinese, bisil-bisil, marami pa po doon. Hindi po nababawalan, lalo po ang dumadami. Pag lumalapit po, nag-iwas na lang po kami. Baka gano'n naman po ang mangyari, kaya umiiwas na lang po kami.
May nahuhuli pa naman kayong isda.
Medyo minus na po, gawa ng doon lahat din naghahanap buhay yung mga Chinese.
He is also dismayed by reports that the amount of compensation from the owner of the Chinese trawler could become smaller than 6 million pesos, which is not enough to repair their boat. Because of the incident, Insigne asserts, they were unable to work for more than a year. According to the Department of Justice, which is leading the negotiations, discussion on compensation is still ongoing. In the meantime, Fisher Folk Group Pamalakaya belied a statement made by presidential spokesperson Harry Roque that Filipinos have been able to freely fish in Scarborough Shoal or Bajo de Masinloc.
I have personal knowledge na halos lahat po sila ay nakabalik na sa kanilang hanap buhay, lalong-lalo na dyan po sa Boro, no? So I dispute that.
The group earlier called on the administration to fight for their rights, saying the Chinese Coast Guard continues to prevent them from entering the shoal.
Masalo pang dumami, hindi natakot, no, yung mga Chinese commercial fishing vessel.
Willard Cheng, ABS-CBN News.
World News now, grievances unleashed by the jailing of former South African President Jacob Zuma boil over into the worst violence in years. Protests that followed Zuma's arrest last week have turned into looting. More than 70 people have been killed in the unrest, which has spread from Zuma's home province to other areas of the country, including Johannesburg. Soldiers have been sent onto the streets to try to restore order. Zuma was sentenced last month for defying a constitutional court order to give evidence on high-level corruption during his 9 years in office. He also faces trial in a separate case on charges including corruption, fraud, racketeering, and money laundering. The United Nations warns Afghanistan is on the brink of another potential humanitarian crisis that can be avoided. This report.
More Afghans are likely to flee their homes due to escalating violence, the UN Refugee Agency warned on Tuesday, as the Taliban take control of more territory in response to the withdrawal of US-led foreign forces. Babar Baloch of the UN High Commissioner for Refugees said Afghanistan was on the brink of another humanitarian crisis, one that can and must be avoided.
So there is a 29% increase in civilian casualties during the first quarter of 2021 when compared to the numbers in 2020. According to the United Nations Assistance Mission in Afghanistan, an increasing proportion of women and children were among those being targeted. A failure to reach a peace agreement in Afghanistan and stem the current violence will lead to further displacement within the country as well to the neighboring countries and beyond.
The UNHCR said an estimated 270,000 Afghans have been newly displaced inside the country since January, bringing the number of people forced from their homes to more than 3.5 million. Those forced to flee blamed the security situation, extortion by non-state armed groups, and improvised explosive devices on major roads, as well as a loss of income and interruptions to social services, Baloch said. The U.S. general leading the war in Afghanistan, Austin Miller, relinquished command at a ceremony in the capital Kabul on Monday and quietly left the country, a symbolic end to America's longest conflict. U.S. President Joe Biden has acknowledged that Afghanistan's future is far from certain, but said the Afghan people must decide their own fate.
We're going to take another break now. Still ahead, a knee injury forces tennis icon Roger Federer out of the Tokyo Olympics. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. We are back with some business news. Cash remittances from Filipinos abroad increased in May. Cash remittances from overseas Filipinos rose 13% to $2.38 billion for the month. That's higher compared to last year's $2.11 billion. The Philippine Central Bank says the U.S. registered the highest share of overall remittances at 40.1%. followed by Singapore and Saudi Arabia. Personal remittances, meanwhile, rose 13.3% to $2.65 billion in May from $2.34 billion in the same period last year. Remittances declined in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But the decrease wasn't as bad as government and economists initially thought. In sports, the mystery behind what turned out to be a season-ending injury to Los Angeles Clippers main man Kawhi Leonard finally revealed. The team announced their superstar forward has undergone surgery to repair a partially torn ACL on his right knee. No timetable has been set for Leonard's return. The Clippers had kept Leonard's injury under wraps after he suffered it in the second round of the playoffs. The Clippers were able to reach the conference finals where they were knocked out by the Phoenix Suns in six games. Despite the injury, Leonard is expected to be one of the most sought-after players in the offseason if he declines a player option in the final year of his contract. Tennis icon Roger Federer is out of the Tokyo Olympics. The Swiss maestro announced on Twitter he will be sitting out due to a knee injury. Federer, who turns 40 next month, had two knee surgeries last year. He withdrew from the French Open this year after winning his third round match and lasted only until the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. Federer won the gold medal in the doubles competition at the 2008 Games in Beijing and a silver medal in the men's division at the London Olympics in 2012. The International Olympic Committee says it has accepted Tokyo's decision to ban spectators from the upcoming Olympics due to the pandemic. A new wave of coronavirus infections forced Japan to declare a state of emergency in the capital that will run throughout the Games. The IOC says while it accepts Tokyo's decision with a heavy heart, it has also been assured by organizers of surprising and creative ways to make the Games lively, even without the fans.
This, at the end, makes the broadcasting and the broadcasters even more important because they then can participate in a way to create at least a part of this atmosphere, normally created by live spectators. Mm-hmm. So we are very grateful there to OBS and the broadcasters around the globe that they are very creative and innovative in this, and I am promised that we will see some very good innovations and surprises, and we are looking forward to this together with the athletes who will enjoy some support even without so many live spectators.
Millions of pesos in prizes await Filipino athletes who will bring home medals from the Tokyo Olympics. Diane Castillejo gives us the details.
At least 30 million pesos and a house and lot in Tagaytay are some of the incentives awaiting any Filipino athlete that wins the elusive gold at the Tokyo Olympics. According to POC President Bumble Tolentino, 10 million will come from government as mandated by law, while another 10 million was pledged by the Manny Pangilinan Sports Foundation. And the last 10 million will be given by San Miguel Corp President Ramon Ang for a total of 30 million pesos. Tolentino, who is a former mayor of Tagaytay City, also promised athletes a house and lot in Tagaytay City. Silver medalists will also be rewarded 15 million pesos each, with 5 million coming from Malacañang, MVP, and Ramon Ang. A bronze medalist will receive 6 million pesos, with 2 million coming from each of the benefactors.
Para naman na inspired ang ating mga atleta rin na for the first time, di ba? Eto na, pagbigay nyo ng karangalan, meron namang kapalit na insentibo para sa kanila.
A total of 19 athletes will be representing the Philippines in the Olympics. POC President Tolentino has a strong feeling that at least one of those 19 will come home with a gold, which would be the first gold medal in the country's almost 100-year history at the Olympics.
We will win that gold as one.
The first batch of the Philippine delegation is set to leave for Tokyo on Wednesday, headed by Chef de Mission Nonong Araneta, along with other members of the POC Secretariat.
Sila yung mauna, dapat makita agad natin kung saan magkakaroon ng... Maset up na muna yung ano, may opisina tayo sa Olympic Village. Maset up na yung arrangement ng all hotels. Different arrivals, salubong, etc. Maset up na yung transportation.
The Pinoy athletes will arrive at their own schedules as many of them will be coming from different parts of the world. Only 6 officials and 2 athletes will be allowed to attend the Summer Games opening ceremony on July 23. Flag bearer pole vaulter EJ Obiena may not make it because of the new quarantine protocols requiring athletes to arrive 48 hours before the opening.
Malamang mapalitan ng male flag bearer natin, si EJ. Hindi na isang option natin na rebook siya ng maga pero hindi na daw kaya at saka nasubmit na yung activity plan. So, may ano talaga, may epekto. So, hindi naman natin akalain na ganung mag-everyday, naghihigpit ang Tokyo.
Because of Japan's current state of emergency, the Olympics will be held without an audience in any of the arenas. COVID restrictions will also be stricter on national delegations, and athletes that test positive will need to isolate. The 32nd Summer Olympics will be held from July 23 to August 8. Diane Castillejo, ABS-CBN News.
And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Playback this newscast to an ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.